Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know, I didn't intend to talk about all that stuff we talked about. And there's no, and I'm not, John's question was excellent. It was great. Actually, I didn't even really answer it completely. I was trying to avoid answering it completely for certain reasons. Maybe you could tell that. I don't know. Not that it doesn't need answered. Just with the setting in school, it just. But I want to go. I want to do something here. I want you to go to Luke 11. So you always have questions with what John asked about the man of Gadara and the or of the legion and the pigs. I mean, the men that were tending and the pigs were there, and then they took off and ran. They were afraid in that scenario. Because then them pigs ran into the water immediately and died. So when they died, then what? You know, there's all those questions raised. You just have to be careful that you don't just keep asking questions that you have to come up with the answers to. Because that's when we get in trouble. We just ask. Jesus seems to believe he gave us enough to go on. Let's just get him out of the man. See what I'm saying? I want you to stay that simple. Now, I want you to see this here in Luke 11. Because what Brian shared really blessed me. It really helped what I was trying to accomplish. The reason I was struggling, because I'm not trying to come against what people are trying to do. And I am not a fan of a lot of books. A lot of books I don't believe were written by God. I believe it's because we're a book society. People just feel like they all, you know, everybody says the Lord led me to write a book. Everybody says that. But time will tell how many books were really written by the Lord. Some of them actually create more controversy. They just go completely against the other book that's written that the man says the Lord told me to write. So all these people are saying the Lord told me to write a book. Do you know I get asked to write a book every week? Why haven't you written a book? Why don't you write a book? You need to write a book. Well, God get a book out all the way. He's not saying write a book. It's already written. A pastor in a conference asked me for my notes. I handed him my Bible. I did. I just walked over and handed him my Bible. I said, man, I'm going to miss it. I can get another one, though. But he gave it back to me. Thank you, Jesus. But it is already written. And I'm not saying there isn't some books that have helped. I had one man recently say to me, books, nothing more than your sermon written out. Well, yeah, but look at all the preaching out there. Not let many of you be teachers. Don't let many among you be teachers, but yet we have thousands of books. And they're so controversial. You can find five different books on one topic saying five different things. And people are major book readers. And then they get confused because they sow all those different lines of thought into their soul. And why not just get alone with Jesus and ask Holy Spirit to unfold truth in your heart because He loves you. And if He tells you to read a book and really puts it in your heart, I want you to read that book. He's done that about five or six times in 16 years to me. I really want you to read that book. It's really important for you to read this book. When I started leading intercessory prayer, I had grabbed a real good book. It's actually a good book on intercessory prayer. And he said, I don't want you to read that. I'm not asking you to read that. I took it in my bedroom to read it. He said, I'm not asking you to read that. I don't even want you to read that. And I went, okay. And here's why. He didn't want me to get the knowledge and then try to apply it. He wanted me to seek him on the topic, him to teach and train me. And then at some point he told me to start reading some things. And I just rejoiced because God showed me to build a confidence that I can hear his voice and be taught and trained by him. Because I really respected the author of the book, and the book was crystal clear. But it was the direction we were going. And there was something cool about that. And I was like, yeah. You see what I mean? And then there was things in the book that I read that he gave me a liberty to read that took me certainly deeper and stuff like that. But isn't it amazing How quick we'll tend to just grab a book and read, because that's normal everyday thinking in life. We'll grab it and read it. Rather than just take our Bible and get alone and talk to the Lord, thanking that this is life. My best friend is truth. Holy Spirit, you open the hearts and eyes of men to write this stuff. There was bloodshed to get this in my hands. I mean, it's amazing. Through the whole dark ages, through the whole 9 yards of history and time, this book is in my hands. And you saw fit to get it to me. God, I honor this. There were so many things that could be written, that if they were written one by one, that Jesus did, but yet you saw fit to record these things inside of this book. They must be important. Come and father me, open up my heart, open up my understanding. And thank you, as I read it, I begin to see and know truth. I don't know how many people do that. We just grab a book on the topic that we're interested in. Because we feel like the work's already done or something, maybe. I don't know. I like finding treasure. I like searching out truth. Seriously, sometimes it's the easy way. Let's just go grab a book on the topic and the work's already done. But wonder if that's not the way you'll see it when you're all alone. Wonder if that's... Who's ever read a book, you embraced it as truth and came to find down the road that you totally changed down the road from what you used to believe because now you see different? Who's ever had that happen? Why do we have to put ourselves through that? I don't think we have to. I think if Jesus wants us to read it, read it. Don't just read it because it's the new popular book and everybody's reading it. Ask Jesus that stuff. I ask him those kind of questions. We used to hand books out at the church to the whole church, remember? I used to ask Jesus if he wanted me to read the books we were handing out. And I was one of the pastors. And there was a whole lot of times he said, don't read the book, just seek me. And it's not that the book was wrong. Don't read into that. It's just he said, just seek me. You understand? It's called relationship. I get invited to a whole bunch of churches. He says to me, the Lord says, I don't want you to ask me if you should go. You have a yes unless you hear no. And don't ask questions. It doesn't matter how many are there, and it doesn't matter. You have a yes unless you hear no. Well, that's how the gospel is. It's a yes and amen gospel. I'm going to go pray for the sick over there, that one that's limping, unless I hear no. And you'll be amazed, you'll rarely hear no from the Lord because he loves people. The only time you think you hear no is because you're a little self-conscious and you're trying to find a reason not to approach him because you want to, but you don't. And you say, well, the Lord's not leading me. No, you're talking yourself out of what he already told you to do most of the time in that case. It's very rare that the Lord will actually say no when it concerns loving a person. There's probably two times in my life that he told me no. One, I was in New York and I was being too aggressive approaching a lady in a parking lot. And he told me not to approach her. And it had to do with culture and fear and accusation, and that I was up to something, that I was going to snatch a perch or something. I found out the area I was in was one of the highest mugging, purse-snatching areas, and I'm cruising across the parking lot to catch a lady before he gets in a car. And I'm not with Christians. I'm not trying to demonstrate power and love. It was just me stopping at to grab something. I forget what I was even picking up. But I was in a parking lot and I saw this lady, and my instinct is to get her before she gets to her car. In her car, she was in handicapped parking and she was really hurting. And I thought, oh my goodness, that dear lady. And I thought, I'll hustle over and see if I can pray for her. As I'm shooting across, Holy Spirit said, no, 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 stop. And I'm, stop. And I'm like, what? Of course you want me to pray for her. It was like, no, I don't want you to run up to her car right now. And I'm like, Lord. And he didn't answer me right away, but I obeyed. And it happened again on my way out. And it had to do with the parking lot and apprehending towards a car. And when I shared with the pastor when I got to his house what happened to me in the parking lot, he explained the area and why that probably was, and it made total sense then. But Holy Spirit didn't give me all that. He just expected me to obey. Not, well, how come? Well, why? Well, you said, well, you're telling me, and now I want to go pray, and you're telling me to stop. Come on, he's the Lord. Shh, stop. Whoa, he has to be right. When are we going to honor him enough to just say, yes, Lord? But our mentality has been groomed in a way where we have to know and we got all the questions and now we're almost confronted with even the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's a good thing to just obey. Watch this, verse 17. Wow. Thank you. Thanks so much. I preached with one of these on Sunday, one of these in my hand. We could do this, Jesus. I really did. He was casting out a demon and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, the multitude marveled. Are we done already? I'll just go with this for now. You just lay it there. Thanks. Just flip the switch off. Thank you, Lord. So some of them said, watch what some of them said. Please make sure your heart never goes into this realm. He's doing a good thing. He's doing a good thing. He's a mute man speaking. And all of a sudden they're sitting back going, it's got to be by the devil. He's casting out the devil. Just trying to find something wrong with what's right. Be real careful with that. Others testing him saw from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said, now watch what he said. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. That has a whole lot more significance than what it sounds like he's saying there. Okay? Did you guys get that?
Yeah.
Think about just even your own life and don't compromise. Don't. If God's speaking something to you, man, if He's saying don't eat the tree and your heart's saying don't eat the tree. Because when you eat the tree, when you know you shouldn't eat the tree, then your conscience is all messed up. There's a dividing thing. And if you don't get that straight through mercy, it brings desolation. There's just every kingdom divided against itself. There's no fellowship between light and dark. There's no relationship between Christ and Belial. There's no relationship, and it says that you're the temple of God. What he's saying is never live in compromise. You're sanctified. It doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake, but live out of the purity of your heart. Live true to your conscience. No one can serve two masters. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. He'll be completely sold out and he'll end up hating the other. I've seen that stuff. And, oh gosh. Don't just see that as a setting and a family and a room. See that as an individual as well, is what I'm saying. Okay? If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast? Sounds like he's slamming them. Therefore, they will be your judges. Now, watch what he says here. Watch what he says. I am not being rude. I'm not being cynical. It's not because he read the latest demonology book. It's the authority and the presence of God. It's not a method. Watch. But if I cast out demons with the... He didn't even say the hand of God. He said the finger. I like that. Because the devil is thumped. The finger of God, meaning the power of God. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, then surely the kingdom has come upon you. One of the risks we run in ministry is our methods of ministry, because we put our confidence in that instead of the finished work of Christ. And it creates a mess, and it wraps around the identity of the ministers. And it's trouble. I'm just telling you, there's some trouble with that in the body of Christ. Our methods have taken the place. Our plan B, so to speak, the way we say God does it through us, has taken the place of the finished work of Christ in some areas. We need to be careful. It's the finger of God. If I can get truth into you, if Brian can preach truth, because the pain has a lie attached to it. Did you hear what he said? It was phenomenal what he said. The trauma and the pain is not just trauma and pain. There's lies attached to it to constrain the person and build strongholds in their life. I'm going to put this on. You guys be patient.
Trying to make it work. You saw I was trying to be humble and use it. Not be the distraction. Take the time.
That handheld was vibrating and humming. And see, they're possessed. It was manifest. And rather than cast the spirit out of it, we'll just lay it down because I don't want it anyway. But we'll cast the spirit out if he's in you because we want you. Amen. We'll put it in the pigs. No, I like the ham. Duh. Cast out of pigs too. The pain, the trauma of your life, the experience of your life, the feeling rejected of your life. Somehow along the line, we started to believe that we need to minister and come against the spirit of rejection and minister to people. Instead of teach them how none of that is the truth about who they are. It's the fall of man. It's the suggestion of life to try to reproduce itself like a cancer into your soul. And that's not you at all. In a lot of areas, especially with this demon thing, it's at the cost of truth in many areas. If you really look, there's no strong ministry of truth. It's a method of ministry to try to get people to feel better. Well, the devil can slip away. He can just chill. He can just back off and the person go, "Oh, I feel so good." You feel good? Praise God. Yay. Peace. And Jesus, yay, I feel so good. No truth. Nothing to take the place of nothing. Just leaving them to hang to dry, to live by their feeling. So 3 hours later, they're not feeling so good. Then what? That's like cleaning and sweeping a house, but it not being occupied. It's still empty. Okay, yeah. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now look, catch this. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. His goods. Not what he's occupying doesn't mean it's in peace, but his goods, everything he's brought with him. But when a stronger, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, I want to challenge you with something here to think with me on a track. We're so busy relating the strong man to the devil when what makes him strong is the lie. Is the devil strong or is it the lie that strengthens him? So what's the strong man, the devil or the lie? Bingo. And we're chasing the devil. You have no idea how much this is. I feel like I want to cry so much because we are chasing pink clouds so much. I don't know why this emotion stuff has to hit me like this, but I just want to go curl up and cry and intercede right now. That's how I feel. Strong. stronghold, strong man. Guess what's stronger than the strong man? We say, well, he's talking about the devil and Jesus. He's talking about lies and truth. Continue in the truth. The truth will make you free. He doesn't say continue in ministry. Ministering will make you free. Continue with the anointing of oil and the encouragement of peace. Truth! Make me free. Guess what's stronger than a lie? Truth. Ah. So when Brian, I'm thankful you're here today with that fresh testimony, because you're just helping out the mouths of two or more as a living epistle. Did you hear what he said? As I'm ministering the truth and exposing the lie and the pain they've been through and all the trauma, who knows it's real? We don't realize how much we make of the trauma. We have to tell everybody the detail of what we're feeling, going through, and the whole time we're doing it, we don't realize we're making so much of it. No, you make much of Jesus. You make much of Him in the face of that. You don't say, oh my goodness, well, we need to pray because you're obviously carrying a spirit of rejection and we got to get that spirit off of you. It's not a spirit of rejection. It's a lie that's allowing them to be rejected. It's not a spirit named rejection and now it's, woo, goes in and the person says, ooh, I feel cut off and rejected. It's a lie that allows them to believe that. And we're like, spirit of this, spirit of that, spirit of this, spirit of that. It's lies. Look, when the strong man fully armed guards his own palace. Well, the palace doesn't belong to him. He's talking about people. It's guarding people. His goods are in peace. So everything, as long as the lie's in place, everything he's desiring to fulfill, deceive, accomplish, is at total peace and in full operation. But when a stronger comes, when Brian starts speaking, isn't it amazing? These young denominational girls just start. Why? Because a stronger came. And all of a sudden the palace isn't at peace anymore. Because the light is exposing darkness. And the stronghold, the thing that's holding them captive, is being broken and shattered and cut away. It's not a come out of them, devil. It's a ministry of truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. If you're my disciple, continue in my word. You will know the truth. You're going to be amazed. You might not know this, but I spent about 5 years interviewing, talking to people through certain levels of ministry and talking to the ministers so that I could never be judged as presumptuous and spouting off and delving into things I don't know. That's why I'm a very passionate, aggressive person. You can read that for whatever you want to read it for. But I've seen a lot and I've been involved and I've watched a lot. And I've seen a lot of people hold up moments of freedom as big limelight testimonies when the reality is those people are suffering and hurting, but they're exalting a little moment in a room when nobody else was there and they felt the glory. And yet they're still crying themselves to sleep 2 years later while they're telling the testimony of how many people are being helped. I'm just aware of that in hundreds of situations. And then people that are going that route feel defensive because it's become who they are. And you're threatening who they are when you're touching what they're doing. Because what they're doing is who they are. And it makes it very difficult to address this stuff. So when he asks that question, I'm trying to get away. Because I really didn't want to address all this stuff. But this is really clear right here. We, in a lot of ways, are taking some long road and accomplishing little, where truth is our best friend. Yeah. I am passionate about it. Jesus is the truth. We beheld Him in grace and truth. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Study, show yourself approved. The Word of God is upheld even above God's name. And we've turned into ministers. We should be truth bearers. We should be giving people, say, no, honey, not trying to cast the devil out of people. No, honey, that's not true at all. No, look at this. Consider this. Well, if they really knew who they were and who you were, they'd have never done that. Don't you see? That's the lie trying to encroach on you and make you disqualified and tell you you're nothing. So now you're finding your identity through their dysfunction. And that's not true. Your identity comes through Christ. Would He have died for you if that's all you are? You're so much more than that. Christ would have never died for you if that's all you are. Are you kidding me? This is the lie trying to cover over you and blanket you and cause you to reproduce that into your generation and the next generation and the next, and just lie. But Jesus, and we're all mystical and ministers of the Spirit. No, we're ministers of truth. I'll just tell you this, that I've learned that manifestations are a dime a dozen. And if you're looking for them, they'll show up everywhere. And it doesn't mean they're God. And I'm not running the risk of blasphemy right now. You can open a door so wide that anything comes through and goes peeky-boo. And you think because they're manifesting, Jesus is moving. You might be out of bounds. Enticing things instead of just giving truth. And then you're playing along, following the leader, as if you're doing something wonderful. Be very careful chasing after manifestations. They're a dime a dozen. Manifestations aren't what heaven's impressed with. Heaven's impressed with truth because it is truth. We follow Holy Spirit, and He's the Spirit of truth. So who's the strong man, the devil or the lie? What empowers the devil? So the devil, it's not just some kind of lifeline of anointing. It's not just that, it's the lie. You get it? But when a strong, everything he brings with the lie. Depression, despair. She said, what is his goods? That's what it's just to ask. His goods. Everything that comes with him. Hopelessness. Suicide. Rejection. Depression. Despair. I deserve this. I made my bed, I'll sleep in it. Yeah, but you don't understand. I was already a Christian when I did it. And now I should have known better. So I'm just, I have to, I've heard that one 1,000 times in my life. 1,000. I'm not exaggerating. Yeah, but I knew better. Yeah, and you're sorry now. What are you thinking? Stop. So you knew better. So were you forever judged because you knew better? No, you probably didn't know like you know now. You think you knew better, but you sure know better now. Amen. Sounds like you grew. Yes. We hold ourselves to judgment and condemnation, and Jesus is saying, go free, go free, go free. And we're trying to come up with a reason why we should be staying bound. And while people are trying to minister freedom, we're embracing a language that's determining my judgment. And yet in our heart we're crying and wish we were free, but we're telling why we have to be judged. I've had people do that 1,000 times in my life. And you patiently sit there and just continue to give them truth. There's a couple of people my wife remembers. She said, don't you get tired of talking to them? It doesn't seem like anything's helping. And see, that's what bothers us, isn't it? So then we have to come up with something else because this isn't working. There is nothing else. It's called truth. And you continue in it and it'll make you free. Or I can cater to her unbelief, minister to her sensual life or his, and try to get them to feel better and teach them that if they feel good, they're doing good. I will lay down my life for somebody if they have an ear for truth. I don't care if it doesn't seem like they're getting it. If I sow a seed, God says it'll grow. And if I don't sow, there's nothing to grow. Countless hours with just certain individuals for years. My wife watched that. She said, it's amazing you have that kind of patience for people. And da, da, da. It seems like they're never... And I said, I love people. She said, well, brother, if it was anointed and effective, you'd think they'd be changed by now. That's the cynical stuff people say. Well, then Jesus needs help in his ministry because they crucified him. He should have did a better job and got them all saved. He probably needs some discipleship. Jesus should have went to discipleship camp, evangelistic school, so he could have better fruit. Watch. You and I are sitting here today because of his incredible, amazing view and faith and perception. And if he'd have looked face value, he'd have been a discouraged leader. But he knows God and God's faithfulness. And we're sitting here today because he didn't change his mind. And he didn't write up another plan. Or another way, because he's the way. So Jesus did a good job, didn't he? Well, brother, if we were, we'd have better results if we were hearing God. Why are you weighing everything face value? Where's our faith? Where's our honor of the integrity of the word? What do you mean? Well, if we have better, see, we debrief and weigh our results. And try to come up with another way. Yeah, but if what you were doing, they'd be free by now, wouldn't they? What are you talking about? Where's this turned into a method? You just keep... If you've got a hard rock somewhere, and all you had was a sledgehammer, and you had to get that rock out of the way, and all you had was a sledgehammer, what would you do? Trouble is, we think we have more than a sledgehammer. We try to find some other tool. Your word is a hammer, able to break the hardest of stone. Heart. What do you do with the hammer? Come on, I'm preaching. See? We're thinking we got to find something else. We go look in a shed. Try to find something that works better than his way. I get a discernment of somebody and God uses the word of knowledge and fixes something and reveals a secret. And we think that's how every man now is going to be fixed. But if Holy Spirit's not saying that, then give him what he's already said, truth. And we'll run a lot better race, guys. Because we'll follow Jesus if we do that. That's the only reason I'm so passionate. Because if we do that, we're following Jesus. When a stronger than he comes upon him... and overcomes him. He takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Wow. He was not with me. He's against me. It's pretty straight, isn't it? He who is not with me is against me. That's not a condemning statement and it's not a legalistic statement. Watch the paradox of this. You can be free from the intent of evil and wicked. You can come to church faithfully. Fail to encounter and endeavor in truth and receive truth and walk in truth and let your mind be renewed through the Word and live contrary to every purpose of God. Not every always, but it could be. I'm just, you follow me? And actually work against the kingdom you want to belong to. Absolutely. Either gather to me or you scatter. Either for me or you're against me. You can see your need for Savior. There's sincere people that believe they've sinned and they understand Jesus died and they love Him for that and call Him their Savior, and don't allow truth to impart integrity, understanding, honor, diligence, faith in their life. Separate themselves from the old sinful nature and all that stuff and live contrary to His purposes and actually let their life work against Him instead of being a minister, just constantly ministering. Need ministry. Not being mean. Just being real. Let me show you. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're chasing devils. We need to be preaching truth. The devil loves when you chase him. It empowers him. He loves when you go after him. He loves when you believe all this generational curse stuff. He loves it. He loves when Christians are at a prayer line and they pray for the sick and nothing happens and they say very spiritually, "Well, I'm seeing right now by the Spirit that there's something one of your uncles did that you just need to find and cover with the blood and get resolved. But there's some kind of curse sticking to you. And I'm hearing in my spirit that there's something in your one of your uncles. You need to track that and find out so you can make amends and cover that with the blood." Well, that happens every week in the body of Christ. And then you send them out of the church feeling cursed, under a curse. I get the phone calls. "Look, I've been here, I've been there, I was told this, I was told that." And the people are living under a curse in their mind. People come and they say, I don't know what's wrong. I can't get right with God. And they had walked away. They did something wrong. They violated their conscience. There's such a block. I said, the block's just your failure to receive His love and mercy and forgiveness. It's not too good to be true. Just come home right now in this conversation. When I hang up the phone, lift your hands to heaven and say, "God, thank You. You couldn't change. You love me. And thank You that, man, I'm home." They're just failing to believe that. Watch. Nothing can keep you from Him when you want Him. It's just deceptions, feelings, emotions. It's the only thing the devil has to play with. So now we're ministering to people's feelings and emotions. We're ministering to impressions and memories and sensations and flashbacks. And none of them are grounded in truth. And we're chasing them things around the park. And they're staying one step ahead of us, and we're just chasing after feelings, emotions, impressions, and memories. And they develop a strong man because they're lies. And they just need overcome by truth. The things we do to get people healed inside and delivered and free from demons, you can't even find in the life of Jesus. The methods. He didn't minister that way, ever. It's the finger of God. Fueled by truth. And everybody's in, everybody's accepted, everybody's loved, everybody qualifies to be free, true? Who do you see Jesus? See, I'm not saying some of this stuff hasn't worked. I understand some of it's worked. Do you have any unforgiveness? Do you have this? Do you have that? We do the whole question list. And I know we're taught to do that in circles. Who do you see Jesus doing that to ever? It's because His love is greater than all that. And all that will work out in the wash once the love comes. But because we walk in very low love, we're trying to compensate with other stuff. Very low power because of that. So we tend to put it on the people that are in trouble, that if they do this, agree with this, confess this, and do that, they can be okay. Which means if we don't get them to the place of freedom, they're the ones responsible for their bondage, and now they're even a little more condemned, even if it's secret in their heart. Are you following me? There you go. There's people in this room that understand. It's truth that makes us free, guys. Second Peter, are you there?
Yeah.
Wow. See, the Bible's plain and clear. The Bible doesn't say the stuff we say. Well, you just can't receive God's love because you were never loved. None of us were ever loved. The best day we were loved, there was still a selfish slant to it. We still had the ability to disappoint the people around us. On the days we did wrong, we knew it immediately. On the days we did right, it was expected. Come on! It's just funny the stuff we say. We have so many reasons why we can't seek Him. And let me be honest, there's not one except the lack of faith. Unbelief's the only thing that can keep you from intimacy. Because the door's wide open. The high priest that never changes is sitting on your behalf saying, come on in. The only thing that's keeping you from going in is you. Period. Yeah, but. See, every one of them yell buts is entire. That's the strong, that's the lie. So what's the answer? To pray so they get free enough to feel confident to walk into the presence of God? Or to chop up the lies and keep teaching truth and keep pouring true identity into people? So watch how plain the Bible talks. Watch this. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As His divine power is given to us, how many things?
All.
Wow. So His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So they're here. They're all things. See, well, I don't feel it, brother. No, I understand that. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Look. By which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Watch. That through these promises, it's not about vats and barns being filled and blessings overflowing. Watch. That these promises assure that we partake of the divine nature of God. These promises are assuring that who He is comes to live and dwell inside of us. That I'm lacking no good thing. That the heart, nature, and life of God is on the inside of me. And if He loves, I can love. The promises assure that I become one with Him, that I partake of His divine nature. Look, and I've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, just selfish desire, self-seeking living. Now watch, but also for this very reason. Now see, that's why I have to realize I'm not just praying a prayer to go to heaven. I'm putting off an old man and I'm putting on the new. I'm putting off the degenerate and I'm being regenerated and refathered and revived. And I'm coming to life again the way God intended me to be from the beginning of time. I'm being restored back to life. Watch this. So I escape. I'm translated out of. I'm called out of darkness into Him. Do you see that in that section of Scripture? For this very reason, this is my motivation. I have to, that's why I preach it relentlessly, that message over and over. Because for this very reason, I'm going to add to that. Because I understand who I am and why. You get it? It actually teaches me to defend against the lie. I'm not just living for heaven someday. I'm living sanctified, called into the light. I'm living in love. I'm giving no place to the devil. I'm not a house divided. I'm going to stand and stand there for. You see, it puts diligence and integrity in you when you understand why you're a Christian. You're not just rescued. You're transformed. Purpose has changed. Perspective has changed. Identity's changed. It's brand new life. Old things are gone. Behold, all things new. And they all pertain to life and godliness. It's here. Now watch. But also for this very reason. For what reason? The fact that we've received all these things and the exceeding promises and the guarantee of partaking of His divine nature. That's a big deal. Who knows that you have to believe that, not feel that? Oh, did you get that? God forbid we keep ministering to each other's feelings. And we start teaching faith. Faith. I get people alone. I get real straight and strong sometimes. I say, you can't afford to feel that way. Stop telling me your feelings. They're irrelevant to me. It's exactly how I talk to people when nobody's around. Because I go, I'm not trying to embarrass in public. But when I'm alone, I will talk to you like that if that's the strong man. And we will overcome him if you stay in a place of wanting change. Of course, you always run the risk of letting him harden your heart and whatever. Been there, did that, done that. Tried that, brother. That didn't work for me. Method mentality. Wait, I thought you were his. I thought you denied yourself. Where are you finding all these rights? Why don't you back up and be a Christian? I've been in marriage counseling with nobody else there and had to stop the counseling session and ask them if they're Christians. Because you're not acting or talking like it right now. You seem like you both need saved. That's me behind the scenes. Love allows me to do that. You think that's harsh? It's the greatest truth they can hear to get them sober. So they're not religious, saying the right things with their lips and their hearts far from him, trying to use what they say to get their own way through the other instead of becoming that themselves. Holding your spouse to Christian principles instead of becoming those principles. When I have the spouses together, it's on, baby. And you're either going to be Christian when you counsel me, or you're going to get saved, or I won't be your counselor because I can't help you. You following me? It's not he said, she said. It's Christ-like. Yeah, but she. Yeah, but he. Well, I wouldn't if he wouldn't have. Well, she wouldn't have, then I don't do well in those counseling appointments. Do you know why? Because it's the strong man that's keeping you that way, and you'll never change, and you'll never find the right one. Because your eyes are fixed on you. And the best day of your life is when you become love and can see clear for once. Because if everybody owes you something to be okay, you'll never be okay. There'll always be a reason. 10 things could be right, but that one thing's still wrong. And there'll always be a reason to be less than who you really are in him. And man is still determining your life instead of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. From what I'm talking, plain and straight, and I hope you can hear me. Do you know I believe this stuff I preach to you? That's why I feel like a flake, man. I feel so free. Right now I feel so free. It's ridiculous. It's so good to be alive. But see, that's where you find out if you're really ready to die or if you're just employing a Christian confession. Because it's hard for us to do that, we say. And I'm saying it shouldn't be. And if it is hard, get alone with Jesus more and kneel more and surrender more and tell him my life is yours. Let grace overtake me. I don't want to hurt another day of my life because of this stuff. I don't want to live my own life. I don't want to love my own life. Teach me, great Holy Spirit, what it means to not love my own life. I've prayed that prayer a lot over the years. Who knows, if you're sincere, he'll come and teach you. You might be amazed. It's not harsh. How many times I've asked people in counsel, are you a Christian? Because their language isn't God. And that's the evidence of a strong man trying to come and win the palace. Watch. But also for this very reason, 2, 3, and 4, verses 2, 3, and 4, for this very reason. Oh, I didn't even read verse 1, forgive me. This is Peter writing to those who have obtained what? Like precious faith with us. How'd they get the faith? By the righteous judgment of God through Jesus Christ. What gives me my motivation? I've been made right in the sight of God. I was lost. I'm found. I was dead. I'm alive. I was unlovely and I'm so lovable. Did you get it? Where'd faith come from? Jesus. The righteousness of God. through Jesus. So faith is working through the love. For God so loved the world, He sent Jesus to make the world clean and righteous. That's where faith comes from. So if you're not receiving righteousness, that's why you're struggling with faith. Hello? If your soul's still vibrating and you're condemned or you're guilty or you see yourself less than He sees you through the cross, no wonder you're struggling with faith, because faith comes through receiving what God says about you through His Son, period. Did you see it in your Bible? Watch, you're going to see this. This gets so clear, it's scary. Oh, and I got to hurry because we're almost done. But also for this very reason, giving all, what? Diligence, not weariness, not complaining. Don't give your soul to excuses. I'm just talking plain. I'm not being insensitive. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. You don't even do that to yourself. Don't even put people that love you in that position to have to respond to that. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. Do you hear what you're saying?
Yeah.
What you're saying is my circumstance, the way people are being in my situation is greater than the Word and what it's telling me. There's a place to get militant. Diligence. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Virtue, which I believe is just in that sense a very high moral value and excellency of character. So virtue, knowledge. So knowledge, self-control. See, these are all the fruits, all the things that follow. With all diligence, you're adding to your faith these things. You're realizing, wow, I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. As you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind, you're sanctified, you're called out, I'm in the light, I'm a man of God. Man, I have no room for this, no time for this, I give it no place. All of a sudden, in your process of relationship and faith and giving to righteousness, holiness rising up in your life, and these are the fruits and the responses of it. You see what happens? Self-control. Self-control, perseverance. That means the Satan's going to come and try to press you. And yeah, you're not dead to yourself. You still love yourself. You're still a complainer. You'll still grow weary in well-doing. I'll press you a little and find out what you're made of. But perseverance. Perseverance what? Godliness. Because man, when I don't budge in the face of adversity, my true colors are shining now, baby. Now even the devil's provoked me to reveal the true me. Yeah. You get it? Now watch. To godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. Now watch. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He who lacks these things just has hidden generational curses and different demons that need cast out. And is that what it says? He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, as has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Do you see how everything hinges? He rules His kingdom from the place of righteousness. Everything hinges on righteousness or unrighteousness. You're going to be one or the other in your mind, and a house divided can't stand. Come on, you're either right with God or you're not. You're either in or you're out. Why not put Him on and say, yay, I'm in. And not hold yourself to perfection, but live from purity. Because if you live from purity, God will align your life. And if you stumble, run to Him. And if you go, oh man, that wasn't, run to Him. But let Him love you. Let Him cleanse you continually in your conscience. And let the blood sprinkle you clean from an evil conscience. And stand and be His child. See? Because if you're not living this way, the Bible doesn't say it's for all these other reasons. It says because you're still dealing with sin consciousness. That's what the Bible says. I just happen to honor that over what we think. Sorry, it's not an offensive issue. I just honor the Bible over what we think. That would be a good day for us to all do that. Because if you just honor what you think, you'll come up with excuses. And the Word's giving you your answers. And you'll be a yell butt Christian. And sell yourself cheap. He who lacks these things, it doesn't say one of many things. It just says short-sighted, the blindness, you've forgotten your cleansing. You've forgotten your sons. You're not realizing you're in. Now watch. Therefore, brethren, watch the encouragement here. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. In other words, if this is a potential impossible, be even more diligent to stand in this truth and don't let anything move you away, because that's the strong man in another camp. Yeah. You following? Watch this promise. For if you live this way, if you do these things, it's not a works thing. That's not how it, don't hear it that way. What he's saying is if you give yourself to this truth, you will never, watch what it says, watch what the Bible says. You will never stumble. Blasphemy! The Word of God's just blasphemed Himself. Everybody's stumbling. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. It's not talking about making mistakes. It's all about going backwards. Tripping and skinning your knees and crying for 3 weeks. Losing your identity for a month. Backtracking instead of forward progress. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. Does your Bible say that? My Bible says that. I'm going to go after that. You can persecute me if you want. You can say I'm out of balance, but I found it in my Bible. It's too late now. It's too late. I'm not subject to human opinion. Brother, you're taking this too serious. We'll see. Yeah, who's ever heard that? Well, you can't take everything in the Bible literally. Who's ever heard that? Uh-huh. Sounds like something the devil would say. For so an entrance will be supplied, because he's just hoping that his chains and everlasting torment isn't literal, huh? For so an entrance and hoping that your redemption isn't literal, huh? Then he'll have to see you head to glory and him to destruction, huh? So he'd like you to be destroyed with him. For so an entrance will be supplied to you, how much? Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now look what he says. For this reason, because this is so amazing and true, I will not... See, this is what I feel like. I can relate to this. That's why I'm so passionate and preach continually and travel everywhere I'm invited. And preach the same message over and over and over. Why? Because I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things. I'm going to be a good steward of His Word. And I'm not going to grab for straws, shift and jump and plan A's, B's, C's, D's and E's. Well, plan A's is Jesus, but B's, C's, D's and E's. I'm not going to be negligent to remind you of these things always. Even if it seems like you're not getting it, I'll keep preaching it all the more. And I will not grow weary in well-doing and lose heart. Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for His kingdom and for you. Yeah. And I will reap a reward if I don't lose heart, right? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But about the time I say, well, I don't think she's getting it. We need to try something else. Wonder if truth is still your answer. Mm-hmm. If you do these things, you never stumble. And then he says, for this reason, I won't be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though, watch this, the people he's writing to, though you know and are established in this present truth. So the people he's writing to, he's not even correcting. They're actually living this thing and he's still preaching it. Well, get another sermon, brother. Get some fresh manna. Come on. Let's go deeper. Yeah. He's writing to a church of people that already know what he's talking about and they're already walking it and established in it. And yet he's not going to be negligent to keep reminding them so they never get out of bounds or get off that road. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, in this body, to stir you up by reminding you. Because it's good news. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. So Peter's saying, look, I'm not going to be here much longer and I'm not going to be able to write to you. So while I'm here, I'm going to do my best to make sure that you know this. Now watch what he says. Moreover, I love this. Makes me want to cry. Moreover, I'll be careful to listen to the heart of Peter. Moreover, do you think he believed what he's writing?
Yeah.
Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my departure. We did a pretty good job, didn't he? Because I'm reading it to you in the year 2011. He did a pretty good job, didn't he? God honored his heart, didn't he? You know, you read the martyr's history. And we know Peter in history was crucified upside down. It's written that his wife, before he was crucified, was crucified. And that the whole time she was being crucified, he stood there yelling, "Remember Christ, dear. Remember Christ. Remember Christ." Not, "Oh my God, my wife. God, why are you letting this happen to her? God, where's your protection? God." The honor of it all because of what he believed. Be a good day to be offended for the average soul. I lay down my life. You make me a pillar in this church. Da, 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 and that's the best you can do for my wife. Why do I have to watch her suffer like this? Some justice, merciful God. Yeah, right. Forgetting that the only reason he's saved is because God is the very thing he's saying he's not. Instead of loving God, he somehow owes us. She's on the cross being crucified and he's cheering. History records it. It's not in your Bible. But remember Christ. Remember Christ. What a place of honor. I would pray we'd all understand and be in that place. Why? Because we love not our own life unto death. We're never going to die. We're in him forever. Yay. And we're going to leave a legacy. So we're not going to be fearful and weary in well-doing. We're not going to pick up what we say we laid down. God forbid we be religious. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We honor you. We bless you. And we just give our lives to you. Take these things and just build the stronghold of God in us. Yeah. Even when David was on the run from Saul, it's like a type, you just hit him in the strongholds of those caves and you're surrounded him with a bunch of hurt, seemingly broken people. God, I thank you. You've taken a bunch of hurting, broken people and showed them why they don't have to be hurt and broke. Even if nothing changed in their past, the lies destroyed. And you've hid us in the stronghold of God. It's called truth. We continue in the truth, and the truth makes us free. We hold the lie captive and obedient unto Christ. Teach us to do that, Lord. I pray grace over this whole school, over every student, and ask that you bless this word with understanding, revelation, and that this word would become flesh. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to run out kind of quick here today. Jesse and I have a lunch thing we're going to together, and he's on a little tight schedule, and it would be good to redeem a little of my time as well. So just thanks for that. I'm going to shoot out here with Jesse, but I'll see you guys tomorrow, okay? Bless you. Love you.